Hi, everybody. It's Curious Raven. Day 3 of October Spook. This story is called Never Buy a Halloween Mask from a Yard Sale. You could be getting more than you bargained for. Written by author Michael Kelso. I always loved taking my little 8-year-old daughter, Chrissy, trick-or-treating ever since she was old enough to walk. I'd dress her up as a ballerina or a princess or whatever cute character would draw the most smiles and, "Oh, aren't you adorable?" comments. If I'd known how things were going to end, I would have never taken her trick-or-treating in her entire life. Started in late September, when I hadn't picked out an outfit for Chrissy yet. We were hitting the end of the season yard sales, and my neighbor had told me that the one we were going to had lots of Halloween costumes. When we got there, I discovered she wasn't kidding. The one side of her garage was nothing but costumes hanging on racks. I wondered why there were so many. Then I checked out the prices. Mystery solved. Her prices were only a few dollars less than the department store. Why do people do that? Assume that their stuff that's been sitting around in their attic or garage is worth so much. I still made a polite show of looking through the outfits in hopes that I would stumble across something cute and cheap. Although with the rest of the prices being so high, anything cheap would be immediately suspect. As I was searching in vain, Chrissy came to me holding a mask. "Look, Mommy," she said. "I can go as a witch this year." I looked at the mask of an old woman's grotesque face. "Is that really what you want to go as?" I said. "Why not a princess?" "Oh, Mom, I go as a princess every year." "How about a unicorn?" "I just really want to go as a witch this year." I sighed, holding up the unicorn outfit in my hand and looking into her pleading eyes. "Please." "All right," I said, putting the unicorn back and digging out the rest of the old witch outfit. In the end, it saved me $10. I guess the witch wasn't selling well. I wish with everything in me that I could return the $10 and undo everything that happened. We walked up to the old woman, Miss Henderson, who was selling the clothes and paid for the outfit. Struck me as we were walking out how much her face reminded me of the mask. We were barely in the door at home until Chrissy ran off with the outfit to try it on. I carried in the rest of my yard sale finds and set them down to find places for them later. I turned around and my heart skipped a beat as a tiny witch stood staring at me. "Oh, Chrissy," I said. "You nearly scared the life out of me."
"I'm sorry, Mommy," she said.
But it wasn't Chrissy's voice that came out. It sounded high-pitched and garbled. "I see that mask has a little bonus to it," I said.
"That's not all,"
she said in her modified high-pitched garble.
"Looking through it is really cool, too."
It was a little disturbing hearing the voice, but knowing it was my daughter saying the words, if she were older and was sure she used this to scare me several times before Halloween came around. "Let me see," I said. She had a little difficulty taking off the mask, but once she did, I put it on and looked through the red lens were sewn in. It made the world look a little different. Not just the color. There seemed to be an aura around objects. I shrugged it off and lunged at Chrissy, saying, "Oh!" She jumped and squealed as I chased her around the table.
"I'll get you, my pretty,"
I said as I chased her in the living room. She dove onto the couch and tried to hide behind some pillows. Slowly circled the couch, closing in for the kill, when I saw something dart away out of the corner of my eye. I didn't think she could move that fast, but I pursued the new target down the hallway towards the bedroom. "Mommy, where are you going?" I heard Chrissy's voice behind me. I pulled off the mask, and she was standing in the living room by the couch watching me. I glanced back at the hallway and shrugged it off. It must have been my imagination. I went back into the living room and gave her the mask. Are you sure you'll be able to see in that thing on the dark Halloween night? I said. It'll be okay, Mommy, she said. There's plenty of street lights, and besides, you'll be there with me. Oh, yes, I said, almost forgot. She smiled and hugged me, then grabbed the mask and skipped away happily. Over the next week, she took the time to scare me with it on a daily basis. Got to the point where I had to threaten to take it away from her. I still caught her wearing it quite often. With Halloween quickly approaching, I could barely keep the thing off her head. Finally, the big night came. Chrissy was bouncing off the walls with excitement. She was dressed in her costume and ready to go an hour before trick-or-treat even started. All through the day, I'd been keeping an eye on the storm clouds that were brewing, threatening to put a damper on our fun. But until evening rolled around, they had blown off and left a nice evening that wasn't too warm or too cool. We left the house making sure to leave our porch light off so as not to tease any trick-or-treaters with the false pretense of candy at our house. We started down the dark street by the occasional street light. At first, Chrissy was pulling on me like a dog, straining against a leash to get to the first house. As we walked, she drew closer to me. The first house was everything you'd expect. The nice woman who answered the front door. And what are you supposed to be? I'm a witch, with Chrissy's enthusiastic response. But being said through whatever filter was in the mask made the woman jump. Oh my, she said. That's quite a costume. She politely held the bowl for Chrissy to choose two candies from, then disappeared back into her house. We hadn't seen but a few other trick-or-treaters until we turned onto the main street, and they seemed to be everywhere, dodging back and forth across the street. They wore every kind of costume you could think of, from the plastic ghosts to cartoon characters to zombies to princesses. I looked wistfully at the princesses when the little witch holding my hand suddenly pulled me against her. What's wrong, sweetie? She said in a huddle close to me. I'm scared, Mommy, she said in the high-pitched, screechy voice the mask somehow produced. Of what, baby? The monsters. I looked, and there was zombies, Frankensteins, and a werewolf walking together towards us up the street. Maybe they're just costumes, I said, just like every other year. Are you sure? She said, her death grip on my hand loosening just a bit. Of course, honey, I said. Everyone is just dressed up to have fun, just like you. Don't you think other little girl will look at you and be scared of the witch? Her grip loosened to normal. I guess so. She started down the street, following along a crowd of superheroes and other colorful characters. The more houses we went to, the more she seemed to relax and enjoy herself. There were still a few times when she would walk so close to me that she almost tripped me, mostly when there were large groups coming towards us. Frankly, I was surprised she could see much of anything out of that mask. There were a few spots where the streetlights were farther apart and I struggled to see the sidewalk. On the whole, though, the evening had been going well. Her bag was filling with candy and everyone seemed to like her outfit. We even came to Miss Henderson's house, the woman who had sold it to us. When we stood at the end of the walkway, Chrissy hesitated. Are you sure the monsters are just pretend? She said, looking up at me with that disturbing mask. Of course, sweetie. Go on up to the door. A group was just leaving as Chrissy walked up. Ah, I see one of my costumes has come home, Miss Henderson said, dressed as a witch herself and sounding much like the voice the mask made. Trick or treat, Chrissy said. She stared at her for a moment as Chrissy seemed to stare at nothing on the porch beside the woman. She glanced over at the empty porch and leaned down to whisper something in Chrissy's ear while she held out the candy bowl. Chrissy nodded for her as she grabbed two pieces of candy and darted away from the woman. I smiled and we turned towards the next house. As soon as we're out of sight, I pulled her aside. What did that woman say to you, Chrissy? I said. For a long moment, the tiny witch eye stared at me silently. She asked me if I liked the mask, she said. I looked into those red plastic lenses, completely unable to tell if she said was the truth. I paused and took a deep breath. I think maybe we've had enough trick-or-treating for the night, I said.
I think so, too, she said, much to my surprise. Can we go home now?
I looked at her half-full bag of candy that didn't have nearly as much in it as other Halloweens. But she'd been acting odd the whole time. Sure, sweetie, I said, smiling. Let's head home. We crossed the other side of the street as Chrissy, urging, so we wouldn't have to go near the woman's house again. Either it was my imagination, or we made it home more quickly than I expected. I was nearly out of breath when we opened the door and Chrissy dove inside, ripping off the mask and costume. She ran into her room and changed into pajamas, then came back out and gave the costume and mask a wide berth as she went to the couch. It's not quite bedtime yet. Do you want to watch something on TV? I said. No, I'm pretty tired, she said. I think I'll just go to bed. Good night, Mommy. She started towards her bedroom. Don't you want any of your candy? She looked from me to the bag of candy sitting on the end table. I'll have some tomorrow, she said. What about your costume? She stared at it laying on the floor. I don't want it anymore, she said. Then went back to her room and shut the door. I stared at her as she went. I couldn't imagine when she wouldn't dive into her candy. Usually I had to limit her so she wouldn't go to bed with a sugar high. I stepped over and picked up the costume, sighing at the wasted money, but happy she enjoyed it if it only were for a little while. I walked over to the trash can and threw the costume in. As I held the mask, I felt I had to look through it one more time. I put it over my head, and the world was instantly bathed in red. I looked around for whatever reason. The aura surrounding object seemed to be brighter. I was about to take it off when I saw something dart off to the side. I ripped the mask off and looked where I had seen the movement, but nothing was there. I tossed the mask in the garbage and did a slow lap around the room, searching for anyone who have been trying to play a prank on me, like a certain little former witch. I smiled as I looked from hiding place to hiding place, knowing she was trying to sneak up on me and scare me. It was the only thing that made sense. She had passed up candy in her princess costume, threw me off guard, so she could sneak up on me and give me a Halloween scare. I finished my circle through the room without finding her, then ended by locking the front door. I made my way back to the hall, expecting to be surprised at any moment. My biggest surprise was that it never came. I stood in front of Chrissy's door and slowly opened it. Peeking inside, I saw her fast asleep, or doing an excellent job of faking being asleep. I shrugged it off and went to my bedroom. My head hit the pillow, and I was soon fast asleep. I woke up in the middle of the night, knowing something was wrong. I sat bolt upright and scanned the room. Beside my bed stood a shadowy figure. My heart froze as I went into full panic mode. Someone was in the house, and they were standing beside my bed. When I turned it on, I saw Chrissy standing there, wearing the witch mask. It took a minute to let my heart return to normal, before I said anything. Chrissy, honey, you scared me, I said. She didn't reply. She just stood there like a statue. I had to watch her chest to rise and fall just to be sure she was still breathing. Chrissy, why did you get the mask out of the garbage? She didn't move. Chrissy, honey, why don't you take off the mask and go back to bed? She remained still. I slowly crawled across the bed and stood beside her, my hand hesitantly reaching towards her, and pulled off the mask. To my surprise, her eyes were closed. It was as if she was still asleep. Chrissy, I said, gently rubbing her shoulder. Her eyes fluttered open. She looked at me. Why did you wake me up, Mommy? She said. You were sleepwalking, baby.
I was?
You took the mask out of the garbage and put it on, then walked to my room. I don't remember that. That's how sleepwalking works, baby. You usually don't remember. I'm tired. I'm going to go back to bed now. I kissed her forehead. You'd sleep good now, I said. She walked out of the room, leaving me holding the mask. It stared at me with its empty red eyes, making me feel more than a little uncomfortable. I leaned over and put it in the bottom of the nightstand drawer, then turned off the light and tried to go back to sleep. Sleep did not come easy. I tossed and turned for hours. Every time I would drift off, a vision of that mask would invade my dreams and I would be startled awake, absolutely certain that someone had just been in my room. Each time the room was empty. No sleepwalking Chrissy, no villainous stranger hovering over me. When morning came around, I stumbled for the coffee maker, tried to get myself moving. Good morning, Mommy, Chrissy said cheerfully, sitting at the kitchen table, watching TV while eating a bowl of cereal. I mumbled something like, morning, as I stumbled through, making a fresh pot of coffee, mixing it extra strong. Didn't you sleep good, Mommy? She said in her cheerful little voice. No, I didn't. Thanks to a certain little visitor in the middle of the night, I said, trying to keep the edge out of my voice. Who? I looked at her, incredulous. Was she serious? Was she playing a game? You, I said. You came into my room in the middle of the night wearing that mask and scared me nearly half to death. Her little brow furrowed. I didn't get out of bed at all last night, Mommy. Yes, you did, Chrissy, I said. You dug that witch mask out of the garbage and wore it into my room. You threw my mask in the garbage? Yes, I did, I said slowly. Thought it scared you so bad you didn't want it anymore. Her eyes became unfocused as she seemed deep in thought. Maybe I was just tired last night. I didn't want to get rid of the mask. And how did you? I said as the news flash came over the TV. In local news, a 63-year-old Martha Henderson was found dead this morning. Police are investigating, but it appears someone broke into the woman's house late last night and assaulted her. She was pronounced dead this morning by the coroner. The case, the cause of death, multiple stab wounds. A picture of a woman flashed up on the screen. Look, Mommy, the lady we bought the mask from, Chrissy said. Hadn't dawned on me until she pointed it out. She was right. The lady from the yard sale, who lived only a short walk away, was brutally stabbed to death last night. I thought back to Chrissy standing in my bedroom, and shuddered at the fact that some crazed killer could have been hovering over me, or even worse, hovering over Chrissy last night. I shook the thoughts away as I glanced at the clock. All right, honey, I said, you'll be late for the bus. I went to the door, and she gathered her book bag. When I got there, a shock awaited me. Chrissy, did you unlock the door this morning? I said. No, Mommy, why? No reason, I said, smiling and pushing open the door that had not only been unlocked but slightly ajar. We stepped out into the cool November morning air, street lights still glowing at the sun as the sun fought to arise over the horizon. Pulled her jacket tight around her and zipped it up. You have a great day at school, I said as the bus pulled up. I will, Mommy, she said with that infectious smile. The bus slowed to a stop and Chrissy waited in line with the other kids to get on and be carried away to school. I waved as it drove away, glancing at the other mothers. Usually, there would be some idle chit-chat between some, but today everyone quickly dispersed back to their houses. I told myself it was because of the cold, but I knew they were all thinking the same thing as me. There's a murderer running loose around our neighborhood. Everyone was getting back into their houses as quickly as possible and double locking the doors. I stepped through my own door and examined the locks as if it had somehow betrayed us. I locked and unlocked it several times to make sure it worked. Then once I was satisfied, I closed it and locked it. I changed into my work clothes of a dress shirt and jogging pants, then sat down at my laptop. Telecommuting had been both a blessing and a curse. Staying home was great for a while, but soon I began to crave actual face-to-face social interaction. Video meetings on the computer just weren't the same. And after the shocking news this morning, I wasn't feeling very secure at home. I would have felt better around other people. The day seemed to drag on as I found myself often distracted by shooting furtive looks towards the windows as Have I expected someone to crash through one and murder me at any moment? I found myself coasting through the day, trying to keep my focus on my job, when the knock came at the door. I nearly jumped out of my skin. I slowly approached as if it was about to attack me. When I looked out through the peephole, there was no one there. A chill ran down my spine, and there was another knock just as I turned away. I stared at the door, knowing that no one was on the other side, and wondered what kind of supernatural dream state I had fallen into. Was I asleep at my keyboard and having a nightmare? The knock sounded again, but this time there came a voice with it. "Mommy, why is the door locked?" Chrissy said. I stepped back to the peephole and looked out. There stood Chrissy. I unlocked and ripped the door away so fast she jumped back. "Why weren't you waiting outside for me?" she said, with betrayal reflecting in her eyes. I glanced over at the wall clock, and sure enough, it was time for her to be home. "I am so sorry, sweetie," I said. "Mommy must have gotten busy and time got away. But why did you lock the door?" "I just felt like locking it." She looked at me with this odd, knowing look. "Was it about the lady who got killed?" "Maybe." I tried to be noncommittal. "Do you think whoever did it is still around?" she said, if she just asked if it was going to rain tomorrow. "Are you hungry?" I said. "Let's get a snack." I spent the rest of the evening helping her with her spelling words and playing games. It was a wonderful time. After supper, we watched her favorite shows and then went to bed. "Good night, Mommy," she says as I tucked her in. "Don't be afraid. Everything will be all right." I considered asking her what she meant, but in the end, all I did was smile and say, "I know," while I stroked her hair. If only I'd known. I woke up in the middle of the night, startled again by Chrissy standing at my bedside. "Oh, Chrissy, you need to stop scaring Mommy like that," I said, looking into her eyes of the mask she was wearing. "Wait a minute. Chrissy," I said slowly, "how did you get that mask back?" She didn't answer for a long moment.
"My friends gave it to me."
"What friends, honey?"
"The same one I saw on the street on Halloween," she said.
"The ones you said were just pretending to be monsters?" A chill ran down my spine. "Where did you talk to these friends last?"
"Tonight. They gave me the mask back," she said.
"They're not very happy that you keep throwing it away." I took a deep breath and tried to stay calm. "Threw it away because Halloween is over."
"Not for them," she said. "They dress in their costume all the time."
"Their monster costumes?" She nodded. "And can you see them in their monster costumes?" I said slowly.
"Only when I wear the mask."
My hand darted out and tried to grab the mask to take it off of her, but she dodged and backed away. Heard a high-pitched cackle come from the mask, remembering how it changed her voice.
"They said you might try that," she said. "They told me about a fun game we can play."
She skipped away as I jumped out of my bed and followed her. She ran down the hall to her room and darted inside. I peeked around the corner, not sure what I would find. Chrissy was standing on the other side of her bed looking at me through the horrid mask.
"They gave me some fun new toys to play this game with," she said,
reaching under her pillow and pulling out two butcher knives that looked like mini swords in her little hands, barely wrapped around their handles. My eyes grew wide. "What if I don't want to play this game?" I said. She looked off to the side, as if seeing something I couldn't.
"They said they wouldn't like that at all," she said, lowering her voice. "It would make them very angry."
I glanced in the direction she was looking, but didn't see anything. Just then, Chrissy jumped up on her bed and dove at me, swinging the knives. I was caught completely off guard. One of the knives caught my forearm and slashed along gashing.
"Chrissy!"
I yelled. She was still coming at me, swinging the knives.
"Mommy, play!"
she said in a maniacally high-pitched mask voice. I dove to the side, feeling the knife slice my forehead, then ran out of the room and into the kitchen. You hurt Mommy, I said as I ran.
Don't worry, Mommy, she said. It's just like a video game. After you die, you respawn.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. There was something that mask was doing to her. I had to get it off of her any way I could. Once in the kitchen, I glanced around for anything I could use. My eyes fell briefly on the knife block, still held several steak knives. The thought was fleeting, and I quickly dismissed it. I was fighting the mask and not my daughter. I had to make sure I didn't hurt her. Quickly searching, I found a dish towel and grabbed it just in the nick of time as Chrissy came charging into the kitchen. She swung at me with one of the knives and I was able to block it with the towel, but it had cut partway through. I quickly wrapped the remaining towel around the knife and pulled it out of her grip. She stumbled and fell to the floor. I was on top of her in an instant. She kicked and flailed, swinging the remaining knife at me, just missing my face by inches. I blocked the knife with my already welling arm and used the other arm to rip it out of her grasp. It wasn't as easy as it should have been. She had some supernatural strength. Eventually, I was able to pull it free. I reached for the mask when suddenly something grabbed my hair and yanked me backwards. I rolled over and got up, but nothing was there. At least nothing I could see. Chrissy jumped up and grabbed two of the steak knives from the block and started chasing me around the kitchen table. It would have been comical, just like we had done many other times, chasing each other and laughing. But no one was laughing now. My life was on the line. A kitchen chair moved itself in my way, making me trip and fall. I jumped back up before she got to me, but I felt something brush against the back of my leg. I glanced back, and she had sliced a gash in my leg. We continued around the table, but I knew I had to go somewhere I could use open space to run away and get some distance between us.
You're not as fun as Mrs. Henderson was, I heard the mask say.
She screamed.
She screamed and begged like a little girl. She didn't run like you.
The shock hit me like a sledgehammer. The mask had used my daughter to kill the neighbor. I knew now more than ever I had to get that thing off of her and destroy it. I ran out the front door, and even thinking that I was only wearing a nightshirt and underwear, I knew I needed help. I ran to the next door neighbor's house and beat on their door yelling for help. Christy burst out of our house and saw me, then ran after me. I went to the next neighbor and beat on their door, and then the next, all the while with a little girl wearing a homicidal mask chasing me. After three houses, people started coming out to see what was going on. I doubled back to where a few neighbors had gathered. Help me, I said. I need to get that mask off of her. They looked from me to a charging Chrissy holding two knives. I ran away, and the neighbors parted like the Red Sea. There was a tree in our yard that had branches low enough to climb, but Chrissy hadn't been able to reach them yet. I climbed up, my bare feet slipping on the branch as I tried to make it out of reach. It came at me so fast I knew I wouldn't make it up, and I would be sitting duck for her to slice and dice. At that moment, my feet gained enough traction to get me up the first branch. She jumped and slashed at me, but all the blades cut was thin air. She stood under the branch, jumping and slashing at me in vain. She was still doing it when the police arrived and took her away. She jumped down, nearly tangling myself in the branches, and ran after the police. Wait, please. That's my daughter, I said. They had restrained and disarmed her, but not taken off the mask. I pulled it off with much more effort than it should have taken, and throwing it far away from her as I could. When it was finally off, Chrissy's eyes searched around as if waking from a dream. Her eyes landed on me. Mommy, she said. Yes, sweetie, I said, wrapping her in a big hug. Ma'am, one of the officers said. Are you sure that's wise? This girl was just trying to kill you. It wasn't her. It was that thing, I said, pointing at the mask, but it was gone. I visit her every day in the mental hospital. The staff there are quite fond of her and say she's the most delightful patient they've ever had. None of them believe why she's there. They all say it must be some mistake. I know it was too. It was a mistake to ever buy that mask.